Hello, folks. Welcome to Autocomplete. It's Roadshow's weekly podcast of all the news going on at the intersection of cars and technology. I'm Brian Cooley, editor-at-large. Editor-in-chief Tim Stevens is overseas working on something very interesting. We'll talk about that soon. New on Roadshow this week, in case you missed it, I took a look at Silicon Valley's kind of secretive test track, a place called Gomentum Station that is built at what used to be a naval weapons depot, which I used to cover some stories at a long time ago before I was doing tech news. Went back there now some 30 years later and saw what it's doing now as a place for cars to learn to drive themselves. Check that out over at theroadshow.com. We also got our Chris Paukert in Detroit out in the new 16 Mercedes G-Wagen. 12 cylinders, 40 years of history, $223,000, and he's really conflicted. Check that out. And we have a brand new episode of our Rivals series posting where we put a bunch of cars that compete head-on in the marketplace to our test. This time, we took a bunch of really mainstream sedans, the Civic, the Elantra, and the Corolla, and tried them out head-to-head on the steep streets of San Francisco's hills. Not your typical flat suburban driving, but let's see how they handle much tougher, yet still urban, terrain. An interesting take on those cars. All that waiting for you at theroadshow.com. Let's check out this week's news. Of course, more Takata recalls. It wouldn't be a week in automotive without it. Let's see, another 1.9 million cars and SUVs from GM, Volkswagen, Mercedes, BMW, Jag Land Rover, and the Daimler van division got rolled into the latest total of the Takata airbag recalls. Total now about 15 car makers, virtually every major car maker. 16.5 million vehicles are now formally recalled in the U.S. Now know that there are still cars out there that will be recalled, even though they're not yet formally so. Carrying these bad Takata igniters. We've got about 100 million vehicles around the world now that have these bad Takata airbags in them in various states of recall. The day before that announcement, Ford recalled a variety of cars for airbag issues, this time on the passenger side, not the driver's side. We've got 05 to 11 Mustangs, 06 to 11 Fusions, MKZ, Zephyr, Milan, 7 to 10 Edge and MKX, and 7 to 11 Rangers. Again, typically with these, it's not every car in those model years. It may be certain production runs. So don't just freak because I just rattled off your model year and make of car. You got to do the check. Safercar.gov, or you can do it the old school way and go to your dealer's service desk and say, check my VIN. What's going on here? Now, with all these Takata recalls, and they're getting into silly numbers now, there are still more that are coming, which is interesting. A report that came out from the Senate based on some NHTSA data, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, this week, pointed out that Toyota, Fiat Chrysler, Volkswagen, Mitsu are four car makers they've documented that are currently still building and selling new cars with likely future recalled airbags. So the pipeline hasn't necessarily been cut off at the top yet, while we're still trying to work the bottom of the situation where the cars have already gone out on the market and try and capture all those. So this will continue to spread. This report said that the automakers say, yes, they are still selling new cars that have these ammonium nitrate inflators in them, which are the core of the problem with Takata airbags. It's legal to sell them, by the way. They're not breaking any laws. But they gotta then still recall them by 2018. So there are cars that haven't even been sold yet that yet are needing to be recalled later once unlucky you or me buy them. I have to bring them back. It's just an amazing oil slick across the auto industry with Takata. Interesting story coming out of the Nikkei News in Japan. Not yet confirmed by Toyota that I know of, but Toyota reportedly is going to be buying Boston Dynamics and a company called Shaft. These are both robotics firms that are owned by Alphabet, the parent of Google. What's interesting here is you may know Boston Dynamics. That name rings a bell. Boston did a lot of really, really interesting, kind of creepy, human and animal-like robots for the Department of Defense, for the most part. You've seen these in videos the last couple years, and they're amazingly anthropomorphic in the way that they move, react, are impossible to knock or tip over. Unfortunately, their aspirations to sell those en masse to the Department of Defense cooled recently, as I understand it, because these machines make so much noise. Kind of blows your battlefield sneaky advantage, right? But now Toyota snapping up these companies. The question is, what will they use the technology for? Will it go into the robotics in the form that is part of a self-driving car? Or are they really going to buy up this technology to continue their efforts at humanoid robots in homes, which Toyota and Honda are almost uniquely focused on in the auto industry? Most other car companies don't care about making home partner robots that will help people that are that have infirmities or disabilities, what have you. But Toyota and Honda really do, Toyota in particular in this case. When we come back, we're going to check out the updates on the Nissan GT-R, including one that happens on the window sticker that's a little bit eye-watering. And we'll also find out who made just recently the biggest investment in Uber when Autocomplete returns. Welcome back to Autocomplete. I'm Brian Cooley from Roadshow at theroadshow.com. Tim Stevens is on the road this week. If you're a GTR fan, really, who isn't? Latest on the 17 GTR that we just gleaned from an early press event in Belgium with the car is that the new MSRP is going to be $110,000. Remember, the GTR was kind of a steal when it first came out. What was it, about 70 grand? And then it's been creeping up ever since. And of course, that's before a lot of pretty lardy options you can put on it. Now it's a $110,000 car base. We're getting up into low supercar, right? Part of that is the new titanium exhaust. Those aren't cheap. In this case, clearly not. They revised the cabin, as we mentioned earlier. It's a much nicer place now. And that is part of the cost increase. This is one that gets me. Silver paint, which to me is the best color on a GTR, is a $3,000 option. Silver's like white. It should be one of your basic colors, right? But in this case, if you want that beautiful silver over a nice black interior, which I think is just the best looking GTR, you're going to pay $3,000 for the paint. It's just not that special a color. I found that a little bit odd. Uber's got a big investment that just came in from the government of Saudi Arabia, $3.5 billion, a huge investment, the largest ever in the company, as I understand it. And this, of course, now values Uber at something like $63 billion. New York Times crunched those numbers just to indicate that even though Uber is this large and seems very established company, they've still got a lot of folks saying, I want to get in on what they still perceive to be the ground level. And that's what's so interesting about Uber, as big and comprehensive as it seems to have become, many bettors are putting a lot of money behind the idea that it has just begun to grow and change the market out there for transportation services. Speaking of changing, BMW is changing the i division. i3, the little electric car, i8, the super hot plug-in hybrid quasi-supercar, those were very much focused in the past, the i-line, on being electrified. Now they're going to push the electrified part to the back burner a bit and say, yeah, our i-cars will still be electrified, but the real significance of i at BMW now is going to be autonomy. And this is interesting, because BMW is not one of the companies that comes to mind first when you talk about autonomous cars. They come to mind like second. They're doing a bunch of work in the area, but they haven't been at the very front of the pack in this area. That, to me, is changing now as they are moving their i division, their boutique technology showcase, into self-driving first and electrified second. So keep an eye on those announcements. Apparently, it's been quite a big shuffling of the people and the mission of the i division just this week, we're learning about. We told you about the Smart Cities competition going on. Coming up in a few days, the 7 finalists are going to be going to Washington, D.C. to make their final pitches on why they should be selected as the city in the U.S. to become a smart city with government help and government funding. The 7 finalists are Austin, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, Denver, Colorado, Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Pittsburgh, Portland, San Francisco. Those are the 7. They're going to make their final pitch on June 9th in Washington, D.C., and they will get up to $40 million from the U.S. Department of Transportation. It's being watched as being a very interesting competition where you'll find companies like Uber, startups, many other companies all converging on whoever the winner is to do some really interesting stuff. If you wonder why a Model 3 is going to cost so much less, I mean a lot less, below 40, certainly base out the door, we're talking about now carving away at the corners. Obviously, it's going to be, we expect, a simpler car. You saw the interior, the cabin of it. It almost looks kind of like a kit car, like someone just made a basic car and stuck a tablet on a windshield mount. I'm sure that'll get dramatically revised before market. But one of the ways they will cut corners, as we understand, Elon Musk says, yes, Model 3 users should not expect that they will have the same free access to the supercharger network that Model S and Model X users have always enjoyed. You know, superchargers where you get, about 160, 170 miles of range in about a half an hour. It's an amazing charge technology. It goes a long way toward resolving long drive anxiety. But Model 3 folks are likely going to have to pay for that. I doubt it's going to cost a ton of money, considering all the other benefits they get from the car. However, it is a class distinction, right? We're seeing some classism, if you will, amongst how Tesla services its different emerging tiers of buyers. Last note for you is either going to be great or horrible news, depending on what you thought of them originally. The Kia hamsters are back. If you saw a movie this past weekend, you may have noticed there were some ads before the movie, and you may have seen that one of them was a Kia hamster ad. Kia's back. I'm not sure these are on TV yet. We've got some you're looking at right there. It's a screwy thing. It's about 3,000 hours of animation work to bring the hamsters back, more of them than ever. And the ad makes no sense to me, but hey, it's a lot of fun. And I always was a big hamster fan on the Kia campaign, so I'm glad they're back. I just aren't quite sure why they're having a hootenanny and what that has to do with the Kia brand. But I guess it's all about making it more fun and positive and celebratory. Can't have too much of that. Thanks for watching. That's Autocomplete for this week. We'll back at you in a week with more of the news in cars and technology. And every time you want to hit the latest on what's happening with cars, you got to go to The Roadshow, theroadshow.com. I'll see you next time we check it all out.